Hello, everybody. Hello, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel once again. So this time I'm considering the future of the Labour Party, especially as the news came out today that Labour's National Executive Committee voted to prevent Comrade Corbyn from standing as a Labour candidate in future. It was a 22-12 vote, not quite as much as I would have expected, actually, because Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of the United Kingdom Labour Party, had said that Jeremy Corbyn couldn't be a Labour parliamentary candidate in future. Remember, he's suspended from being a Labour MP. He's still actually a member of the party, but not the parliamentary party. Therefore, he sits in the House of Commons as an independent socialist. So he was first elected to Parliament for 1982 for Islington, a seat in London. So the quondam leader of the Labour Party called the decision a shameful attack on party democracy. So he'd really been a voice crying in the wilderness in the 80s, admitted there were more people on the far left there in those days, like his sometime girlfriend, Diane Abbott. But by the time Tony Blair took over the leadership of the party in 1994, Corbyn was sort of yesterday's man. Labour recognised they really needed to marginalise him, but he was still there, a thorn in the side of every Labour leader there ever was, the most rebellious Labour MP of all time, almost incessantly voting against the leadership, that it wasn't left-wing enough, that they should be taxing the rich more, they should be increasing benefits even more, they actually increased them. They should cut defence spending more and so on. They should expel Northern Ireland from the United Kingdom, force it to join the Republic of Ireland, and so forth. Although he was actually also a Eurosceptic for a long time, as some people on the far left were. So that was Jeremy Corbyn. Obviously not a principled man. I mean, he still bought a house. He still lived in some considerable comfort. I mean, went on holiday to Cuba when obviously Cubans weren't allowed to go anywhere and things like that. He was still going to enjoy the best of capitalism, which he incessantly denounced. Anyway, so Corbyn was suspended because Labour found there was anti-Semitism in his party, which, to say the very least, he did not do enough to discourage. And so it stunned many people in 2017. He was elected leader of the Labour Party because, remember, Ed Miliband's contribution to Labour was to say that there'll be one member, one vote. Every member of the Labour Party has a vote of equal value, whether a member of Parliament or an ordinary member, so make it more democratic. So he was incredibly popular amongst the grassroots, which is why he was elected a Labour Supremo in 2017. Even the most Labour parliamentarians couldn't abide him. And indeed, in 2018, Labour was many points adrift in the polls, and Owen Smith launched a leadership challenge. I mean, most of Corbyn's shadow cabinet resigned in one day, and a high majority of Labour MPs were against him. So from a Conservative's perspective, he was the gift that kept on giving. Labour was tearing itself apart, and the Tories could just sit back and laugh and say nothing and let Labour rip shreds out of each other. So it was really an unedifying spectacle, a complete shit show within the Labour Party. And there were all these reasons to vote against Corbyn by the Labour Party. And the Conservatives avidly said, well, you see this? So the Labour Party, Labour MPs, those who know him best, they work with him every day, say he's absolutely dreadful, that he's a walking disaster zone. He'd be a terrible member, terrible prime minister. And how can he demand loyalty from Labour MPs when he was so utterly disloyal himself, constantly going against the Labour whip? Anyway, so it was that 2018 leadership contest. Owen Smith, a Welsh MP, stood against him, but Corbyn was re-elected by a majority of Labour Party members, led them into the 2017 election. Sorry, I should say it's 2015 he became a Labour leader. There was a challenge to him in 2016. He led them in the 2017 election, but he performed much better than anybody anticipated. The opinion polls showed that the Conservative Party was going to win by 20 percentage points at the outset of the campaign. Theresa May was more popular than the party. She dragged them up, which is why the Conservative campaign focused very heavily on her as an individual. Corbyn was less popular than this party. He was going to drag them down. So therefore, they didn't pay that much attention to him. They had various popular Labour figures fronting the campaign. Corbyn was there as well, but not with as much prominence as one might anticipate. But anyway, he was always a zealous campaigner, and he electrified audiences. So he came across as really unspun and genuine. And there was a bit of a youth quake, and Labour was much savvy on use of social media. and they motivated young people to vote. And so that's why Labour did much better than anticipated. It was a very leaden-footed campaign by the Conservatives, strong and stable. So that was dreadful. The wheels came off that with this thinking about reducing pensions. And a lot of the older voters who are Conservative leading said, "Whoa, we're not having that." And the Conservatives had to backpedal on that one after a few days. Nevertheless, the damage was done. So the Conservatives did win. It was by a mere 2 percentage points. Theresa May almost managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So Labour, rather than losing by 20 points, lost by only 2 points. So that was considered moral victory. Therefore, his place is assured. He led Labour in the 2019 election, but they lost. They say the factors were BBC, Boris, Brexit and Corbyn. Boris Johnson was much more popular. It was a bit of a honeymoon. Brexit was popular amongst Conservative voters. The party was united, had a clear policy on that one. Labour was doing the splits on that one. And most people thought Corbyn was dreadful. And they just really didn't want him getting the keys to number 10 Downing Street, a man who said, "Well, I won't get rid of nuclear weapons, but I would never press the button no matter what. In which case, what's the point in having them? We might as well get rid of them to save the money, spend on conventional forces." Someone who wouldn't sing the national anthem, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he's got the right to be an anti-monarchist. And I do have some respect with it for him, in as much as he's consistent. And he was brave on that when that was a deeply unpopular position to espouse. But anyway, then he stood down as Labour leader with all these investigations into him. But Labour's very keen to distance themselves from him, and he's been effectively sidelined. So as he can't be a Labour candidate, and he's been some demonstrations since, would he stand as an independent socialist in his Islington constituency? And I suspect he will. And in that bailiwick, well, he's represented it for 40 years. Would he win as an independent candidate against Labour? I suspect he would not. I think he'd lose, but not by a huge margin. Independent candidates almost never make it, even though he's got such a following and been there for so long. Especially bear in mind, next time Labour's predicted to do very well. So that might be quite significant. I heard Lord Owen say this the other day. He was the Labour Foreign Secretary in the late 70s and helped form the Social Democratic Party. He split from Labour to form a centrist party because he said the far left was such a blight on Labour. He said, get rid of them. And you know, even Blair didn't manage to expel Corbyn, at the very least not have him as an MP, but he still sits for Islington North. Anyway, so Corbyn is saying that Sir Keir Starmer is assailing the rights of Labour Party members. But anyway, the National Executive Committee, that's the governing body of the Labour Party, has spoken, and people are elected to the NEC. Corbyn said that the allegations of anti-Semitism have been exaggerated, and the Equality and Human Rights Commission has examined the party's handling of complaints and said that they didn't deal with them properly, that Corbyn's staff has twisted the arm of people and things like that. And Corbyn says, why are socialists fighting fellow socialists? There should be no enemies on the left, and we should save our fire for the Conservative and Unionist Party and do what we can to bring about social justice and a clean environment and things like that. So there was momentum. There was this far left group within Labour, and there were really groupies for Corbyn. So John Lansman, one of its leaders, is aghast at the decision. But I think that spelt the end of Corbyn as a major political force, probably like Boris Johnson likewise. Even if Boris Johnson continues to the end of his parliament, even if he's re-elected next time in his Uxbridge seat, which I think he will be, but not by much, Corbyn is probably going to have to bow out next time. Even if he stands, I don't think he'll make it. This is a post-Corbyn era. He really is yesterday's man. He's already in his 70s. I think Labour will be very happy to move on from him. It was a dreadful 4 years that they had under him. On the other hand, he did get an awful lot of people to join. He did enthuse a lot of younger voters. Well, thank you for watching this video. Goodbye.